Hello everyone and welcome to this service online. Stuart and Jody here at Carey Baptist Church here in Moulton. Let's commit this time of worship into God's care and keeping. Let us pray. Father, we open ourselves to you, and as we listen to your word, as we pray and worship together, we pray that you would meet with us, that we would encounter you through this time and act of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our reading is from Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. Exodus 20, 8 to 11. And Jody is going to come and read it for us.
Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. When 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy.
Thank you, Jody. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we reflect upon it now and what Sabbath means for us in our own time, that you would bring your rest and your peace into our hearts, our minds and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. As we record this, we are in the midst of the holiday season, and I thought it would be beneficial to look at the whole area of Sabbath and rest. In the last couple of months, I was forced to take some enforced rest for a few weeks due to burnout. So the theme of looking at this area of Sabbath and rest resonates very personally with me. Our passage, our reading that we've just heard read, is part of the Ten Commandments. It is the fourth commandment, to be precise. The Sabbath, which was a Saturday for the people of Israel, was a holy day, from which we get our idea of holiday, holiday being an abbreviation of holiday, a day set apart from rest and from work, and to be able to worship God. But the Sabbath is not only just for human beings, but also for the land and all its creatures. In verse 11, it talks about the creation of the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and that even then, God takes a rest. The Sabbath rest is for the whole of creation. In the last week, we had the report from the IPCC, the International Panel on Climate Change. And we know that the planet needs a rest from the way we have been treating it. We need to take radical action in the next decade, or who knows what state the planet will be in for our children and grandchildren, our nieces and nephews. Look around in the news in the past week. Look at the raging wildfires in Greece and Turkey and the floods there, and also the fires in the US and in Australia. And then in Italy, or Sicily to be more precise, we had the highest temperature ever recorded in Europe at 48.8 degrees Celsius. I have experienced 40 degrees in Nicaragua, and that was too much. So I don't know what 48.8 would be like. All of these are signs for us to wake up to the reality of our climate emergency, even breaking in right now, much quicker than we thought. But will we wake up? This year in November, we have the COP26 conference in Glasgow, which will be a make or break time for us. We need to put pressure on our government, who is chairing this conference. But we also need to take initiatives on our own behalf to be responsible and to fly less and to cycle and walk more and to make changes in our personal lives in relation to how our lives affect God's creation. Originally, the Sabbath was on a Saturday, but Christians have transposed that to a Sunday. Now, a Sunday may be a good day for you to rest, or it may seem like a work day for you, as it does for me. That is why I take Mondays as my day off. So it doesn't really matter what day you have for rest, but at least one in the seven should be taken as a time of rest. Although, to be honest, most people work 5 days a week and not six in that sense. So if you can have 2 days a week off, even better still. But we all need at least a day away from work, from the computer, from emails, from the phone, from social media, to have a digital detox. We're off on holiday tomorrow, going camping for about 10 days. So 10 days or 2 weeks holiday away from the computer, the phone and emails is one of the best things about a holiday for me, along with being in touch with God's creation, camping and enjoying new sights and enjoying the food and drink of different places. We have all had holiday plans disrupted in the last 17 months, but it is important to give ourselves time away from home if we can, or we may end up going a bit stir crazy. I hope you have had or will have the opportunity to get away somewhere different over this summer period. Whilst looking at this whole area of Sabbath, we shouldn't see the Sabbath as a legal requirement or a law enforced by God, but as an institution for our own benefit, because we need it. I'm reminded of the story in some very strict Scottish Presbyterian islands that they used to chain up the swings on a Sunday to make sure that the children didn't play on them on the Sabbath, and therefore violate the Sabbath. But do we see God like that, as a killjoy who wants to deprive us of fun on the Sabbath, on the Sunday? Or as someone who delights in seeing us resting and enjoying ourselves? Let's see what Jesus had to say about the institution of the Sabbath in Mark 2. Verses 23 and following, it says, "One Sabbath Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?' He answered, 'Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." So Jesus here is showing us an example when he and his disciples were breaking the Sabbath law. But what was important was the priority that the Sabbath was not made for man or for human beings. It was made for human beings. It was made for us and our well-being and benefit. God knows we need a rest. We need time off. We need a holiday otherwise. we will break. There is a sense in which God doesn't need our worship on the Sabbath or on any other day. But we need to rest and to worship him to become fully human. In the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which was written in 1646 to 1647, it asks, what is the chief end of man? Or I would say, what is the chief end of humanity? And it says, our chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. God wants us to glorify him in our lives through work and worship, and to enjoy him, which involves leisure and recreation, enjoying him and all his good gifts. There's a story said by a rabbi saying that on the day of judgment, we will be held responsible for every good gift from God, which we would not and did not enjoy. So may we enjoy God and his good gifts this summer and all year round. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you will help us to rest regularly, to have a Sabbath day each week and Sabbath seasons in our year and years, that we will make space for resting from our work so that we can rest in you and worship and glorify you. So recreate us, Lord, through a Sabbath rest and renewal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn now to a time of prayers, of intercession. So let us pray. Lord, we bring before you our needs and concerns at this time. Lord, we pray for ourselves here at Carey Baptist as we have elections to the diaconate in the coming weeks. We pray that you would inspire and raise up people to take on those roles, even if they feel that they don't have the gifts or they think it would be too much for them. Help them to know if you want them to do that role and to confirm that in their hearts and lives, and to touch people, to invite people to take up that role of responsibility. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we give you thanks and praise for good news in our lives. And although I can't name it online, I thank you for someone who's had good news in regard to his health after different tests. And we rejoice with him. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we continue to pray for those who are struggling with their health. And in a moment's quiet, we name them in our hearts before you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we think of those in our church family and those we know who are in nursing homes. And we thank you that we can begin to visit people with greater freedom now. And we pray that they would enjoy the visit of family and friends in these seasons. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Father, we pray for holidays, for those who go on them, those who have been on them in the recent weeks and the coming weeks in this summer period. May they be times of refreshment and renewal and Sabbath rest. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And in a moment's silence, we bring our own needs and concerns to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for those affected by the shooting in Plymouth, those who have been bereaved, those who have lost loved ones. We pray for their families. You'll comfort them. We pray for the family of the person who shot them too, as they deal and process with the trauma and grief of this situation. We pray for that community. You will bring your healing and your peace to them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the people of Afghanistan with the ongoing conflict there between the government and the Taliban. And we pray for the people who are caught in the middle of that. And we pray for a peaceful and diplomatic solution to that. It's difficult to stand by and watch what's happening and to know the own sense of guilt and complicity we have as a nation in our involvement in that country too. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we think of those affected by climate change, the floods in Turkey, the wildfires in Greece, and in other parts of the world. And we pray that they would receive the help and the support that they need, those that have been burnt out of their homes or flooded out of their homes. We pray for governments and for agencies who respond to people in need. We pray for the firefighters in the midst of those situations, that you would strengthen and uphold them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the climate change conference in Glasgow, the COP26 conference in November. We pray for our government as we head up that. We pray that real commitments that will be followed through will be made, that it should be a real turning point for us as an international body gathering there. We pray for those governments that are reluctant to make commitments, that you would help them to wake up to the seriousness of the situation. Lord, we pray that you would give us all a new attitude of reverence and care for your creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we offer all these prayers and we join them together with the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And we close now with a blessing. Deep peace of the running wave to you. Deep peace of the flowing air to you. Deep peace of the quiet earth to you. Deep peace of the shining stars to you. Deep peace of the Son of Peace to you. Amen. And thank you for joining with us online. Go well and God bless.